9.3 Recommended Reads Part 1
Welcome to Recommended Reads. I'm Clive Morrison and my two guests this week are the philosopher Matt Davis.
Hello.
And TV cook Rosie Garnett.
Hello.
Rosie, you're going to start us off. Which book would you like to tell us about?
I'm going to talk about You Are the Music. It's by Victoria Williamson, a music psychologist. To be honest, it's an unexpected choice for me, given that I don't consider myself a very musical person. But I heard Victoria talking on another radio programme and found it fascinating, so I decided to read this book.
Presumably it's not for music specialists, then?
No, it's basically aimed at the general public. And besides, she makes the point that we're all far more musical than we might realise. I'm one of those people she talks about who claim to be tone deaf. Apparently, nearly a fifth of the population believe that. But it's unlikely to be true. Less than 4% of people actually are tone deaf.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
They're called amusics and suffer from a neurological condition called amusia. It seems most people who say they can't sing to save their lives just lack confidence. Probably from being told they couldn't sing when they were children.
So there's still hope for you then?
Well, I'm not banking on getting a recording contract yet, but she reckons that a few singing lessons would sort most people out. Anyway, the thing I'd never thought about before is how musical life is from the outset. That right back when we were babies in the womb, we heard the world as a kind of music, with rising and falling sounds and rhythmic beats.
That doesn't mean that babies in the womb can register musical patterns, though, does it?
Well, yes, apparently they can. In one study, they played a relaxing melody twice a day to mothers in the last weeks of pregnancy. They then played that melody to the babies when they were 6 weeks old, while they were asleep, and the babies' heart rates dropped noticeably, showing that they felt more relaxed.
Mm. Surely that could have happened even if they hadn't heard it before, though.
They did check for that. And while all babies showed some signs of relaxation when they played the music, the effect was twice as strong with the babies who'd heard it in the womb. So they were recognising it.
Wow, amazing.
Mm. And the other thing I hadn't realised was how important musical awareness is to learning a language. And again, that's something that babies register very early. Apparently, babies cry in their own language.
What do you mean?
It's been shown in another study that French babies cry with more rising pitches, whereas German babies' cries have a more of a falling pitch. And that reflects the most common intonation patterns that adult speakers of those languages use.
How funny.
And then you realise how important intonation is for early communication. I mean, just listen to people talking to babies and small children. We call it baby talk. But in the book, she calls it IDS, infant-directed speech. We all do it with babies to some extent, and it is very musical. Big rises from low to high pitch, and a really strong rhythmic pattern. Look who's here to see you! And we do it because babies respond to it so well. They just love it, smiling and giggling away. Mm. I realise I still do it with my four-year-old when I want to communicate something with a lot of feeling. Don't do that! And it's okay, Mummy's here.
So what happens with those people who truly are tone deaf then? Does that make language learning difficult?
Well, yes, they can struggle to recognise what's being implied by different pitch and intonation patterns. Maybe they can't hear much difference between brilliant and brilliant.